But also we'll be talking with Carol Cox, who's a renowned environmentalist, activist, and world-renowned, I guess I would say, anyhow. But we'll be talking with him about some other very important and pressing issues also. All right. Okay, right now, as I mentioned, like I want to introduce Mr. Carol Cox, and as I mentioned, he's an environmentalist, and you've probably seen him on TV a lot or heard about some of his activities in confronting some of the environmental problems and questions we have over here, and I want to thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you, Calvin, for having us.
Yeah, last week we just got to talk to you briefly, and hopefully, you know, we've been mentioned, of course, we've been talking offline anyhow about doing more with you. Like I say, do a lot of great works over here, and I think a lot of people are not fully aware of how much of an impact you've had on the communities over here as far as addressing environmental issues and a number of things, like I said, concern us that some people are either unwilling or unable to tackle on their own. And I know there's something that you wanted to talk to us about this morning, and I'd like to turn it over to you.
Well, anyone interested in following up on some of the work that we do and this particular subject that we're going to discuss will be posted on, at our website at EnviroWatch.org, www.EnviroWatch.org. Mm-hmm. This particular subject involves the importation of previously frozen yellowfin tuna. Mm-hmm. And that sounds rather innocent, but the problem is, originally when this started, it was a problem of histamines, because these are the types of species, yellowfin tuna, other tunas, jacks, mackerels, mahi-mahi, they are in the category of scombroids. They tend, in a tropical setting, there is histamines present naturally, but if they're not properly cared for, if they are caught and then exposed to, let's say, heat, poor conditions, or fecal matter, they can present a problem if they're not properly chilled and cared for, because that bacteria grows rapidly. Recently, there was a situation where 32 people, a cluster of illnesses, 32 people. Now, I remind you that the original concerns were that by smoking this fish, it was through tasteless smoke, where they were allowed to filter wood smoke and filter the fish.
Okay, when you say smoke, are we talking about, you mentioned the carbon monoxide is being used.
Right. Well, you see, the original process was a taking wood and, as we all know, smoked fish, smoked salmon. But what happened was that a marrying up, they wanted to use the carbon monoxide, so they start to introduce the carbon monoxide, because what the carbon monoxide does, it enhances the color, even to a natural-looking color, but it's really not natural. Fish is not cherry red or watermelon red, but when you go to the store, you'll notice that this product is give that appearance. So it could be an inferior product. But one of the things I want to emphasize is this product, we're not talking about local fish, fish that is caught by the longline fishing vessels or private. We're talking specifically, and there's been a problem in that, in implicating the local fish, while it is not a discussion or the speaking to the quality or inferiority of local fish. We'll set that aside. This issue comes where fish is being imported from Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, and other Vietnam and all. Could be tilapia, could be snapper. But in this particular case, this 32 cases, a cluster that took place, there were traceback conducted by the federal government, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Department of Health, DOH.
Just one point of clarification, anyhow. The 32 cases you're talking about, this involves the Salmonella how do you pronounce that? I don't want to mess it up.
Okay. Again, I want to emphasize that the original concern was histamine.
Okay.
In this 32 clusters that popped up, this started back in October, and the information we have in the tracebacks indicate the illnesses go back as far as October. This illness of 32, the cluster of 32, was different, not histamines, but a Salmonella paratyphi B, which comes from or is caused by fecal matter contamination. And there are a variety of ways of being fecal matter. in the sense of a fisherman, a fishing vessel,
right.
The uncleanliness, they may clean the fish and leave it laying out or contaminate the knife with fecal matter or whatever from the fish or whatever sources.
Right.
That's just one of them. This concern, now, mind you, these illnesses started in October.
Mm-hmm.
And just give you some questions that we had written to the state health department, for example.
Right.
We wanted to know, of the 32 cases, how many were children? And of that, 24 were 10 years of age and under.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and that's just reported.
Just reported and
right.
documented.
Uh-huh.
We knew nothing of this.
Mm-hmm.
We stumbled upon this back in December, but this had been occurring as far back as October.
Right.
There have been, and I must freely say, I'll take the liberty of saying this, there's to describe it, it has been nothing, I can describe it only as foot dragging, and there's a great interest in the state government and the federal government
mm-hmm.
to conceal and not take an action and aggressively pursue this
mm-hmm.
and not wanting to impact the businesses
uh-huh.
and the major grocery chains and the major importers of this product.
So the health of our citizens are put aside for business interests?
The health of our citizens is being compromised.
Okay.
The integrity of the food, and this raises some bigger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the Food and Drug Administration seize or reject shipments of fish in October 12th
right.
of 2007,
mm-hmm.
reject that fish because it had salmonella. Now, we're not saying salmonella is some guy that shows up on The Sopranos. We're talking a bacteria,
right.
You know, not salmonella. This is salmonella paratyphi B.
And any Italian-Americans out there, this is no slight on anybody. So
yeah, we understand that. But the problem is none of this ring out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
There was no open discussion or anything to the public. And we stumbled upon it, and in doing so, in inquiring, we found that the federal government had documented fish coming in, and they rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
But when this onset occurred, they then pretend to not know or approach it as if they did not know very sluggishly.
Mm-hmm.
As recent as March 31st, they're still dragging their feet doing the so-called investigation, but when we raise questions,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to answer. In fact, the initial response was, there's no such thing as a cluster.
Right. We keep seeming to be hearing these cases around the country about the imported foods, the tainted foods, the things that's coming about, and for some reason, it seems like our representatives, the people are supposed to be in place to help preserve or make sure, like say, that the our food system is safe. Are not doing their job, and like even it seems like there's more and more American farmers, like say, are being put out of. Of course, that's another subject right there, being put out of business, in an effort, like say, to increase the number of imported items. And I don't know, we talk about this offline, and like I said, it's really surprising. I'm seeing the facts, the figures, and the information that you have here, and the extent, that you show me, like say, that the involvement of so-called reputable companies over here are turning a blind eye, like say, to this particular, case.
Well, the evidence that we have been able to gather,
mm-hmm.
and these are the facts, in the trace back information, you had, for example, Foodland, YPO,
mm-hmm.
Pearl City Foodland, Foodland Ala Moana, Foodland Dillingham.
Mm-hmm.
Sack and Save, and what that means is that in Safeway, all of the major chains were in some fashion implicated through the trace back,
mm-hmm.
raising questions. A party would, a family would purchase or consume a product,
mm-hmm.
The onset would be 4 days later,
mm-hmm.
right? They would get ill, and I guess it was that the children who really were violently ill, the gastrointestinal problems.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately and unfortunately, that's how, the parents would have to take them somewhere hospitalized.
Right, yeah.
So that's really the only reason
mm-hmm.
this thing really, I think they would have dismissed it. And what they've done is, take for example, the stores when they're visited, immediately we believe that they should have taken samples at the stores.
Mm-hmm.
and then taken samples from the distributor. Mm-hmm. That didn't take place till late January. Now, remember, these are illnesses that they've been investigating for at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm. See, the question I have, of course, a lot of people, like say, we're being reassured that the checks and balances are there. And, you know, when you hear something like this, you know, they wonder why so many people buy into so many different theories about what's going on with the government and everything else. When you see cases like this where, again, you assume that we're being taken care of, and we're not. And, you know, it just seems to be a trend. Like I say, that's what's bothering a lot of people. Like I say, what can you believe in, you know? Like I say, where, you know, the trust is gone, basically. It's just...
Well, here's a test to that, for that this behavior, my allegations that they're foot-dragging and not being consistent and in protecting the public. Just in the basic advertisements, if you open up the local papers here or the Sunday papers, you'll see advertisement on occasion, poke, $5.69 a pound, $5.70, whatever the price. But it says made fresh daily, or made fresh daily, or what have you. What should be said is that this is previously frozen, treated with carbon monoxide. So what that does is it alerts the consumer to look at it, take a smell of it, because if you look at the appearance, but it's also mask and soy sauce when they make it in the poke, the various kinds. They make it in the kimchi poke. So all that is concealed.
Right.
So the consumer rarely gets the opportunity to look and smell, do the basic shopper's test, to smell or to look at it to see its quality or the sheen of it. This fish could be a year old. This fish could have lain on the decks, and we have photographs to show that where, in some instances, fish that was destined for the markets lay in the sun. Here we have HACCP, Hazardous Analysis Control, critical control points here by the government. It's supposed to be also practiced in the foreign countries where it's imported.
Right.
But who's enforcing that?
That's a good question. The other question I have is that, of course, with all this, the revelations coming out about disinformation, like say the paper trail and everything else, has there been any prosecutions or is there anything that's in place right now that certain people would be held accountable?
Well, interestingly enough, the Hilo Fish Company and the Kona Fish Company was under a criminal investigation for a number of cases, acts, and there were also indictments drawn up. Somehow, somewhere, it fell through the cracks. Don't know why the U.S. attorney didn't pursue it. We're still in pursuit of that. But we have information that reflected there were actual grand jury processes against these companies for basically adulterating and bringing in fishing and changing. Somewhere along the way, for some reason, the bottom fell out on it. So we hope through exposing this that it stimulates an interest to revisit that and prosecute. But again, it was we filed EnviroWatch through the Pacific Justice Center here filed on our behalf a petition with the Food and Drug Administration to ban this product, any product treated with carbon monoxide.
Right.
To date, that was March of 2006. To date, we've not received a single response. That was because of concerns of histamines. We'd never given any thought to salmonella concerns. We knew it was an inferior product, but you'd be amazed that some stores are selling 2,000 pounds a week to the consumer. That's a ton of fish. Now, mind you, very few of them are selling fresh yellowfin tuna or ahi for the use in poke. The majority of this product that we see now in poke is an imported fish. Now, don't want to confuse, there was some misstatements that we confuse the local fish and the fresh fish.
Right.
We are actually consuming as a community. And remember, poke is very important in our diets for parties, for first birthdays, and on and on and on. So we unsuspectingly... basically, I'll describe it as playing Russian roulette at the dinner table with the food.
Another, of course, I got so many questions, but another thing that concerns me is if these if this is being this particular illness or problem with the fish is being missed or whatever, what's going to happen in the future? Like, say, if there's something else that's a heck of a lot more serious that is not detected, you know, and what is it going to, what ramifications is it going to have on the populace?
Well, I can say to you, just to describe the climate of the detectors, let's mm-hmm. say, the physical people on the ground doing the import.
Mm-hmm.
Here in this state, we have several inspectors. Would you believe they get to work out of their home?
They got any job openings? I mean, you know.
Would you believe that the federal government pays for parking there at Bishop Street
mm.
for several, at least 10 parking spaces? They're rarely used because the officers are working from their home.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, in fact, written a letter asking the FDA on these issues because it speaks to the integrity of the food system, of the source of food, and we got to monitor it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many shipments are inspected here by the FDA and rejected? Very few.
Mm-hmm.
But we wrote back in January 31, 2008, to Barbara Cassens, the administrator, mm-hmm. The director in San Francisco. And basically, we raised questions about was the last comprehensive seafood HACCP inspection, were there deficiencies in these inspections, and do the monthly fees, rental fees for parking of the consumer safety officers, private vehicles, how much are you paying? We want to know because we believe that is directly related
mm-hmm.
to the integrity. If we're paying officers to inspect
mm-hmm.
and they're staying at home and these shipments are popping up and they're contaminated, who's doing the inspection?
Yeah.
So we wanted to know that. Instead of responding, we've got no response per se to our questions. We're told, now we've been in business now for at least 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and we write for you, the Freedom of Information Act request,
right.
on a daily basis practically. The response we got back from the FDA, if you have any need for information,
mm-hmm.
even the questions, you yeah. must file a FOIA. So you can't talk to them. You call them up. And just backing up a bit, we stumbled upon this cluster of illnesses.
Okay. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let you continue, but we're going to take a short break anyhow, and we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, you're back with the Hawaii Bulletin Board radio program, and we continue our conversation with Mr. Carol Cox. We're getting down to the wire anyhow. I know he wants to make a few more points, but just, of course, like to have you come back, like say, so we get some, you know, further discussion about this important issue. But please.
Well, this subject is very large. I mean, yeah. and it's fragmented because you have numerous agencies handling it, and you have companies. I've contacted Safeway, and their spokespersons, Tamura, Sack and Save, Foodland. All of them initially denied that anybody had reported consuming anything from their stores,
mm-hmm.
even though we had the facts that they were being visited and had been reported.
Mm-hmm.
So we hoped that the major food chains would, in fact, take the responsibility and educate the public.
Mm-hmm.
In their advertisement, advertise that is previously frozen, treated with carbon monoxide.
Mm-hmm.
That, so, and secondly, now one shipment was seized or was asked to be thrown away and tested positive. But here's the funny thing. The Salmonella paratyphi B, which was the suspect,
mm-hmm.
was not confirmed in this shipment. This was Choice Products.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen that in the news. They, in turn, withdrew and destroyed several thousand pounds.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, on a 1 minute.
1 minute? Okay.
They did not test positive for paratyphi B, but did test positive for Salmonella of some
mm-hmm.
type.
All right.
What happened?
Okay. That's a cliffhanger right there. Like I said, we'll do a follow-up next week if you can join us anyhow. I want to apologize to Mike DiPaolo. Like I said, I know he was on hold. Like I said, we'll get back with him next week anyhow. I want to thank you, the listener, and like I said, check EnviroWatch.com.
EnviroWatch.org.
.org, okay. And again, thank you very much.